It's good to be with you this morning. I would invite you to look in your Bible or whether you're using your phone or whatever at Philippians chapter 2. I'd like to begin this morning by reading a section of scripture together, Philippians 2 verse 1 through 11. As we talk about being a servant like Jesus, I believe we see a lot of great moments in the Gospels where we see Jesus as a fantastic servant. It's who he is. It's in his DNA. But in this section in Philippians 2, we see the attitude and mind of a servant, and we see how a great summary text of Jesus being a humble servant. So if you would, read Philippians 2 as we start this morning with me in verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This morning, as we talk about being a servant like Jesus, what we find in Scripture is some incredible irony. The Bible has a lot of things that are kind of ironic when you think about it. For example, you have the Creator becoming, in a way, a created thing. God taking on flesh. That's kind of ironic. You have a king in Jesus becoming a servant. You have the ruler becoming a slave in the way. It's ironic. And that irony has impacted you and I in an eternal way. It's touched our hearts. It's touched our soul because Jesus was a servant. And what Jesus teaches us by being a servant is that if you want to change the world, you're not going to do it from being great in yourself. You're going to do it by lowering yourself. That if you want to impact others, be a servant. If you want to live a great life, be a servant. Remember, Jesus said, it's he who is first shall be last, and who is last shall be first. And what we see here is that God says he has highly exalted Jesus because he has humbled himself to become a servant. When we think about what makes somebody a good servant, or what makes a servant, I think about a waitress or a waiter. I would imagine each of you have a restaurant you kind of go to often. And if you're like me and my family, we tend to get the same waitress over and over again. Our restaurant's called the Lazy Donkey in Moore, Oklahoma. It's a Mexican restaurant. That's just the name of it. I'm sorry. So that is what it is. Her name's Brandy. She's a fantastic waitress. Now think about what makes her so good. That's two parts. One, it's her action. Because isn't being a good server part of how you act? The way she waits on us, how attentive she is, how quick she is. She's always looking for some need to fulfill. There's an action involved. But more so than that, there's also an attitude. Have you ever had a waitress or a waiter who was, they were checking up on you often, and they were good at that stuff, but they had a really bad attitude? You could say, they wanted to be anywhere else but right there at that moment. And you would say, that really wasn't a good waiter or waitress. You know, they were doing the right things, but their attitude was just bad. That can be true in the reversal of that too. Maybe they have a great attitude, but hey, you're not here. Like, where are you? You ever been sitting in a restaurant for 10 minutes and it's like, well, they were nice when I walked in, but I have not seen my waitress in 20 minutes. And so I know being a servant doesn't mean being a waiter, but I think biblically when you look at what a servant is, you see the same truth. There's an action involved. The word servant, serve, it's a verb. There is something you're doing. You're helping other people, looking out for someone else's needs. But biblically speaking, being a servant is more than simply doing. There is a specific kind of heart involved in being a servant. There's a kind of attitude. There's a kind of mindset that comes from being a servant. It's one filled with humility, looking to others who's joyful and grateful for the opportunity to help somebody else. And all of us in this room, as God-fearing people who love Jesus, should want to model him, to reflect his image to the world around us. And that means we have to also be a servant. People who are moved with the heart of humility because of what Jesus has done for us with his heart of humility. And so what does it mean to be a servant this morning? I think there's a few observations we can see from this text. The first is, maybe the most crucial, that if we're going to be a servant, we have to understand this first. Jesus saw others as more significant than himself. That's where being a servant or serving others starts. We get a great list of sacrifices that Jesus made in this text, or we can see them. He left heaven, perfection, to come to earth. That's an imperfect home. That was a sacrifice. He left his form of God, whatever that is. We don't know what that looks like or how to even describe that in a way, but he left that form, it says, and he became man. So he left his form to become something lesser in a way. He became man, creator to creation. He became a servant. It says taking on the form of a servant. He ultimately suffered. He walked this life. He faced persecution. He dealt with all of that, doing all of that for mankind. He became sin who knew no sin. You do not sacrifice for people that you view as insignificant. Think about that in your own life. Are you willing to serve people if you view them as insignificant? Jesus, the reason he could serve others is because he valued them. When he looked at other people, regardless of who they were, he saw them for the value they had that God had given them when he made them. He saw them as being people who were in the image of his own Father because they were his creation. You don't sacrifice and serve people who are insignificant. Paul would say this in verse 3, if you look at it again. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. I think it starts there. Jesus saw others differently than I think sometimes we tend to. And that's interesting because this is the most important person to ever walk the face of the earth. There is nobody more important or of more value than Jesus. And yet when he looked at people that we would say, well, they're lesser than him in terms of power or value or whatever, he said, I don't view them that way. They are still of priority to me. He sees himself differently than sometimes we tend to see others differently, different than we do sometimes. Being a servant like Jesus starts and depends upon how we see other people. If we don't see them the right way, we will never serve them. If I view myself as higher, better, of more value, I will never sacrifice for someone else. You know, there's that kind of quote on Facebook often, you know, would we serve Judas? Would we serve as, like we consider ourselves Gentiles, would we serve a Jew? Would we serve those who we disagree with? Would we serve those who live lifestyles that simply don't look like our own? Would we serve those who look different? Would we serve those who have deep sin in their life? Because if we view others as lower of any way, we're likely not going to sacrifice for them. Or we lack a right attitude when we serve them. It's difficult to lower yourself and serve somebody when you're too busy looking down at them. It's difficult to do that. And so first he says, you have to count others more significant than yourself. I think that's the key word in this verse is count or consider. I love what the NIV says here. It says value. How do you value people? I love that because how you value people determines how you treat them. How we think of others determines right off the bat if we're going to be a servant. And so in our moments where we think that our life is about serving ourselves and instead of serving other people, we just try to fulfill our own needs. God says, hey, remember that the world actually doesn't revolve around you. It revolves around me. And that God was willing to look at other people and say, they are important. I'm going to look out for their interests and their needs and I'm going to serve them. And so to start this morning, if we're going to be a servant like Jesus, we have to look at other people and count them as valuable. Every single person. Every single person in this room is valuable. You matter. But every single person outside of this room matters too. And everyone deserves to be served. And we'll talk more about that as we go on. But one observation we see off the rip, is that if we're going to be a servant like Jesus, we're going to have to count other people as being significant. But secondly, what we see in verse 4 is that when it comes to being a servant like Jesus, one example we see is Jesus put others' interests over his own. Do you have a bucket list? You know, things you want to do before you kick the bucket is, I guess, the phrase. For me, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but Hawaii is apparently not cheap. Every time I, you know, when you're like really tired one day and so you go do your dream searches of vacations, like, I wonder how much a flight costs to so-and-so. Mine's always Hawaii. That's on my bucket list. I want to go back to Africa. I want to jump out of a plane. I'm just kidding. No, I don't. I have no interest in jumping out of a plane. Amen. Thank you. If you've done that, I still value you, but that's crazy. You ever thought about Jesus being a man, maybe had some things he wanted to do? I mean, he's God, but he's human. I would imagine that leaving heaven for earth might not have been on the bucket list. Or how about experiencing all the trials of being a man? Do you think he wanted to live a life filled with struggles? Or how about dying on a cross? Do you think that whole crucifixion in that last week of his life, I'm not sure that would make his bucket list if he had one. Obviously, we don't know what his desires were in that way. But we do know that he loved us so much that he was willing to suffer for our sake. And that he was willing to put our interests over his own. In the garden, when he was about to be arrested and he was stressed and nervous and anxious, he said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But what did he say? But not my will, but he put the interest of God over his own fleshly interest. And by doing that, he put the interest of you and I over his own interest and the interest of all the people who would ever walk this earth. Jesus put our interests or our desires over his own. And a servant like Jesus does the same. They do the same. Verse 4, as talking about Jesus, says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. All of this he's modeling after the attitude in Christ Jesus in verse 5. He says, Jesus did not look to his own interests, but the interests of others. Now, we have opportunities to serve people. But what happens is when we have an opportunity to serve someone, we also have an opportunity to say no and to serve ourselves. And we're in a world that's designed to help us serve ourselves in every single way. And we have to make some decisions when the opportunities arise that we're going to look out for other people's interests, not just our own. When we have a chance to help others, sometimes these thoughts come in our mind like, well, that's going to take a chunk of my weekend up. Or, well, I just got off work and I'm really tired. That wasn't in my plans this week. I had a schedule and that doesn't fit it. I know this money would bless them and their needs, but I had planned to spend it on A, B, C, D, or E. And that's a way of how ourself keeps us from being a servant. Not that sometimes it's good to relax or it's good to say no or that we can't do everything for people. That's true, but our mind works that way, doesn't it? Where when it's time to serve somebody, we come up with a lot of list of reasons why really we should just choose ourselves. Because that's the enemy of service, itself. And Jesus here says you should look to your own interests, to the interest of others, not simply your own. When it came to Jesus, he moved other people's desires and their needs higher, and he placed his own lower. And we should follow that example. And as we continue looking at this example of Jesus, the model servant, he puts other people's interest over his own. He views them as more significant. But you see this third one. Jesus gave without needing to receive. He gave without needing to receive. Every one of the sacrifices Jesus offered up as a servant that we read about, he didn't do those only for the people who would give their life in return. It's not as though Jesus died on the cross only for those who would accept him. He knew people would reject him, and yet he went and suffered for them too. There were and there still are plenty of people who will never respond to God in the way he so desires. And knowing that, he still came to earth, lived, suffered, bled on a cross, was slapped and spit upon, mocked, suffered everything he did because of his amazing love for people who would never accept him. He was willing to give and give it all for people who would never give anything in return to him. It's like It's like a rude customer. Jesus serves them anyway. How many of you worked in food ever? So one of my first jobs was McAllister's Deli. I don't know. Has anyone ever been to McAllister's Deli? Okay. My brother worked there too. And my brother has this story of, we give out to-go orders. And this lady took it and she came back. And she was very angry because when she bit down on her sandwich, she bit down on a toothpick. That sounds terrible. And I'm sorry that happened to the woman. But remember that at McAllister's, literally every single sandwich has a toothpick with a colored thing on top that's like flashy paper. And we stick it in the sandwich to keep it together. And she couldn't believe we stuck a toothpick in the sandwich. It's like, man, that's what we do for every single sandwich. And so imagine you're like the person at the cashier register when the lady goes, there's a toothpick in your sandwich. It's like, that's kind of the point. There's a design to that. Well, what do you do when she's mad at you and yelling at you? What do you want to do? It's like bring her to church. No, you said it's like, here's your sign that there's a toothpick in your sandwich. But what's the phrase? You say the customer is always. No, they're not. They are not always right. But the idea is we serve them anyway. And I think that's true with Jesus. It's not that the people he was giving to or serving were great or always getting it right or even worthy of his sacrifice. No, but yet he loved them enough and he viewed them as valuable, so he served them anyway, even if they would never return that service. In John chapter 13, we see maybe the greatest picture of a servant and how Jesus washes feet. And if you remember that story or that moment, as Jesus starts to wash feet, Peter says, no, Lord, I should be washing yours. And Jesus says, listen, I'm here to wash your feet, and you're not going to wash mine. I'm here to serve. It wasn't about what I'm going to get back from you. I simply want to give. I've worked at a bank before. Banks are completely transactional. People come in. I see the same people every week. They drop in thousands of dollars. 3 days later, they come take it out, and we do that over and over again. Would you go to a bank that the money you gave you could never pull back out and use? No, you would only go to a bank where you can take that money and use it. And I think sometimes we're this way with service, where we will only give or make deposits of service if we're willing to pull it back out or withdraw it. I will give if I'm going to get something out of this situation. And we need to understand, serving is not transactional. Serving is not transactional. We do not serve people based on what they will do in return for us. We do not serve people based on what we might get out of the situation. Christians serve based on what we've already received in Christ Jesus. We give because of what's already been given. It's not a transactional thing. His death that has brought us life leads us to serve others as he did, and it has nothing to do with whether they will respond to us or serve us in return. We give without needing to receive. And if we need something in return to give to other people or serve them, that isn't service like Jesus. You know, if I need a video showing what I've done, or a shout out, or a stack of cash in order to do anything for somebody else, maybe we need to look inside ourselves and say, why am I really doing this? And how much do I appreciate how God has served me and changed my life? The greatest service that you and I may ever give in our life is the silent service. It's the service that happens when lights are off, when doors are locked, when no one is around, when no one notices, when our location hasn't been pinned or posted online. Some of that is the greatest service we will ever give. I think about our moms in this room. I know you get Mother's Day, and hopefully you get other days with your family, but there's so much that you do, moms, for your kids and your spouse that goes completely unnoticed. Thank you. That's being a servant like Jesus, and it changes our lives. I think about the people who lock up the building. We talk a very long time here. I try to get out of some of y'all's conversations, and I just can't. I'm kidding. I love y'all. But we talk a long time, and you go look at some of the people who lock up, and they're here for an hour, hour and a half sometimes. They maybe have other places they'd like to be or things they need to do, but they're willing to serve even after everyone's left. You know, who turns the lights off? Who's the one who cleans the building? Those people are serving And unfortunate thing is, you know, I think I'm very blessed, and I would say Marty and Titus agree, we get commended a lot publicly, don't we? We get praised. And we thank you for it. It's not why we do it. Not at all why we do it. You know, there's sometimes I want to run away from the handshakes after Sundays, because I think you're lying half the time. But the other half time, that's not why we do it. But there's a lot of people in here who are doing things every week, every day, in their homes, in their schools, their jobs, and in church, when we're together as a church, who never get this. They don't always get a thank you. But understand, God notices. God sees what you're doing in secret. And we have a Father who also rewards in secret. Some of the silent service you give is the greatest service you'll ever give. And we thank you for those who do that. I encourage you to keep doing it. And the principle goes back to Jesus gave without needing to receive. And we should be willing to do the same. Are we willing to serve in secret? Are we willing to serve if we get nothing in return? Because that's the example we see in Jesus. And then one more observation for you. Oh, well, there was your example of Jesus serving. But we'll go to one more observation, is that Jesus hurt in order to help. Jesus was willing to hurt in order to help. Throughout his ministry, Jesus endured and suffered to benefit other people. I don't know if you've watched The Chosen, but there's a scene. I know it's not scripture, but Jesus returns from healing people all evening, and he's limping, and he's panting, and he's out of breath, and he's been out there all day, and he just kind of mutters under his breath to his mom, I'm tired, I'm so tired. I never thought about Jesus' life that way or his ministry that way, but he's human. I mean, imagine you treating people all day and night, healing their diseases, and doing all of these things, and he's tired. He went through a lot, not just on the cross or that last 3 days of his life, but he went through a lot his whole life to help other people. He was willing to be uncomfortable, to deal with some pain. He was willing to hurt a little bit in order to help people. He endured rejection and abuse and slander and gossip and long nights and little sleep, punishment, pain. He wanted to help redeem anybody he could, so he was willing to hurt. There are times that serving others will cause you to hurt. It can be lower back pain. It can be calf tightness. It can stress you out. It can frustrate you. Serving might leave you lonely on occasion. It might hurt you emotionally at times, mentally or physically while you serve. And I'm not asking you to bear all the hurt and be a glutton for punishment by yourself. That's not what I'm asking. But what I am saying is when you serve, you will hurt a little bit. When you sacrifice, you will hurt a little bit. I mean, isn't that what a sacrifice is? And so we have to be willing to hurt in order to help. Am I willing to be uncomfortable for our God? Am I willing to serve him even when it steps on my toes or makes my back hurt a little bit or whatever it may be? Because when you serve people, inevitably hurt happens in some way or the other. And so we see four things of Jesus where he, or his example of being a servant. First and foremost, he saw other people as valuable and significant. And then he was willing to give without receiving. He was willing to hurt in order to help. There's multiple examples here of how he was a servant. And as we wrap up this lesson, and once again, I forgot the verse about Jesus being hurt in order to help. You know, being found in appearance, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. But as we wrap this up, we should want to be a servant like Jesus. I know being a servant is not an attractive thing. I don't think a servant like Jesus is a title on our sign that makes people want to run into this building. I don't think there's people lining up on street corners saying, I can't wait to be a servant. But yet it's who God calls us to be with following his example. And if we're going to be a servant, humility is key. Humility is crucial to this. We must lower ourselves. And if the one whom the world depends upon did it, we can do it too. And if you struggle with humility like I do, you're not alone, but if you struggle with it like I do, here's a quick reminder to be humble. One, Jesus came because you have sin. You've made a lot of terrible decisions and you've sinned against God. Me too. Number two, even after coming to Christ, I'm still a mess. Anybody else? the world does not revolve around me. As much as I love for it to, and I wish everyone did something to for my interest, it's just not the case. The world has, it does not revolve around me. And that's a good thing. God has been overly abundant in blessing you and I. He's given us everything we need and much, much more. And if those four things won't humble you to see how God's treated you and also how terribly you've treated God and myself, I don't know what will humble us. We need to have some humility to not see ourselves as so great or so high. And then being a servant means we put humility into action. That's what serving is. It's humility in action. And we need to take that humility and be moved with it. If we're humble, but we never do anything with it, maybe we're not as humble as we think. The most powerful person in all the world came as a servant, not as a president or a king, but a servant, a lowly one. And through servants, he impacted this world and other people. And if we want to impact our community and our family and our friends, and if we want to show Jesus to people, the number one way we can do it is by being a servant. That's the first thing we can do, and it's the best thing we can do. If serving others makes a profound impact, when you serve others, please don't view it as sacrificing your life for someone else. You know, sometimes we serve people and we're like, well, I'm giving up this, this, or that. Our lives are meant to be viewed as a living sacrifice anyway. I hope that as we look at this example of Jesus, that we'll be encouraged to put humility into action and be reminded of how important it is to be a servant. And I pray that his example motivates me and it motivates you to serve others as we serve God. And so my challenge for every one of us this week is simply this. Look for an interest of somebody else. Look for a need of somebody else and put that humility into action by doing something for someone else where you receive nothing in return. Look for something you can do for somebody this week, serving them, where you get nothing out of it. Nothing. It might cost you, but it does not pay you, at least not here. And that's my challenge for you this week. And in order to do that, you're going to have to see that person as valuable. That person might be in this room. It might be in your family. It might be your coworker. It might be someone that really annoys you. It might be someone you never have met before. I don't know. But look in your life. God will give you an opportunity. And serve somebody where they can do nothing in return for you. And do that because that's how Jesus has served you and served God. And I pray that helps you this morning and that encourages you. And I pray we'll be a church where we're all servants as best we can and servants like Jesus. This morning, it's great to serve others, but you need to serve. By serving others, we're doing that to serve God. And if you have not put on Jesus Christ, you need to do so. It doesn't do you any good to serve other people if you haven't submitted your life to Jesus. And so if you need to come forward this morning or just talk to us after service, if you need to put through faith and repentance, putting on Jesus in baptism, we'd love to help you with that, to become a servant of his. Maybe you're dealing with some issues in life. I think a lot of us are going through tough times. We just read about it on our prayer list, and maybe you want some extra encouragement. You would love for the church to get together and pray for you specifically. We would love to do that with you. Maybe there's some sin in your life that you'd love to confess, to admit to your church family, to get that burden off your shoulders, and let us love you in return. If you have a need this morning, come now while we stand and while we sing.